We are at the end of this series about divine direction. This time of the year, we are setting New Year's resolutions. We are looking forward to a new year, trying to correct what happened in 2017 and have a good start for 2018. We are indeed writing the story of our lives as we go. And in that, rather than just doing this on our own, we are looking for divine direction. We're looking for God's guidance in how we can be successful. And success doesn't necessarily mean rich or famous or powerful. Success means full of joy, full of love. It means that we're in the presence of God and that we're walking the way He wants us to walk. And that's what we're seeking divine direction for. We start with this quote from Pastor Craig Rochelle, who wrote the book, Divine Direction. And he says this, "The decisions you make today will shape the story you tell tomorrow. The decisions you and I are making right here today, the decision you made to get up and come to church on a rainy day is shaping the stories that will be told about you tomorrow and the day after and the day after and the day after. Because when you rolled out of bed this morning and you heard that rain pitter-patter on the roof, and you look outside and it's cloudy and dreary and just a little cold, not super cold, but just a little cold, what's the first thing you thought of? Well, this would be a great day to take a nap, right? I don't know about you, my alarm went off this morning. I actually woke up before. I'm still on duck hunting time. So I woke up at 4:30 and I looked outside and it was dark and I went, this is a good day to sleep in. And then I woke up again at 5:45 and the sun was kind of coming up and it's gray and I went, I wonder if there's anybody that could just fill in last second, you know? Just one of those days you just want to lay around and be lazy. But you made a choice, guided by the Holy Spirit, to get up and come and honor God with your presence and worship, to seek Him, to seek to worship Him, to seek to open up His Word and to grow in Him. And because of that, you have dictated a different ending to the story. Little decisions that we make affect how the story is going to be told. And that happens every day with every decision. So I want to ask you this morning, what is the title of your 2018 story looking like so far? Well, we started January 1, we wanted it to be titled, Started Strong, Finished Strong, right? We started out of the gate strong, we finished strong. We want the story of our life for 2018 to be that. But let's be real. Most of us may have started strong, but we're not on the road to finishing strong. Most of us may be falling into one of these other two titles. Started with a bang, ended with a... And I didn't really know how to spell, so that's my best chance right there. We started with a bang. I've got big goals. I've got big plans. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to save money. I'm going to study Scripture more. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that to better my life in 2018. And now we're just kind of going, well, I ate a salad in January, right? You know, I drank water that one time, that one day instead of a Coke. Started with a bang, ended with a... Or maybe you needed to have this last title. Really, really wanted to, but fill in the blank, right? I really, really wanted 2018 to be something special, but I never really got around to starting, right? I never really got around to following through. What's the title of your 2018 story going to be? Well, here's the issue. I want you to know that you're not alone. If you're not doing really well with your New Year's resolutions, with following divine direction, 73% of people who made New Year's resolutions made it through the first week. By this time, by the end of the first month, less than half are still going strong. So if you stumbled along the way, know this, you're not alone. This is what we do. We have big dreams, we have big goals, and so many times we fail based on what? Our own strength and our own ability to change our lives. Divine direction is about seeking God and God's help and God's power to change our lives. And what we need to do is tap into His Scripture, tap into His Word to see how we can reverse that so that we can be that group that makes it all the way through and sees real change in their life. A change that pleases God. A change that brings joy to our life. So divine direction, we've been looking at this for the last few weeks and we've seen where God's guiding us and He's given us some warnings along the way. Some things are going to happen that come against us. It's not going to be easy, but He's given us some divine direction. And here we are at the end of the month, the first month of the year, we're falling off a little bit. What is it that we're missing? What is the one thing that we're missing that wraps all of these lessons up? What's that one thing that God is saying, if you do this, all of these other things will come in line and you and I will walk in the way that we're supposed to walk together and you will grow in your faith and you will grow in your love, and we will grow together. What is it that we're missing? Well, it comes down to this. We are missing the faith to start. When we set New Year's resolutions, the reason why most of us fail is because we never start carrying out our New Year's resolutions. Every year since I was like 25, I've decided this is the year I'm really going to lose weight. This is the year I'm going to join a gym and exercise. Many times along that journey, I have joined a gym. I don't know that I've ever gone to the gym I joined, right? I didn't have the faith to start. It sounds good in December when you're eating everything, going, January 1, I'm going to eat better. January 1 comes and you're like, let's ease into this, right? Let's just ease into eating better. Today we're going to talk about Nehemiah. Nehemiah had the faith to start. And his story shows that when we take these steps to start, God meets us there. But I need to give you some backstory on who Nehemiah is, because he's not one of the ones we celebrate in the Bible a lot. He's not one of the big characters. Nehemiah and the people of Israel before him, God's people were told by God, worship me and me only. Serve me and me only. And they did what? They refused. And so God removed his protection from them, and he allowed this very, very powerful kingdom, Babylon, to come and take them. They destroyed everything in their wake and took God's people as captives. And the people of God were in captivity, in Babylonian captivity, for 140 years. Well, during that time they were in captivity, there's a man named Nehemiah. And the Spirit of God came upon Nehemiah. And the Spirit of God moved in Nehemiah's heart. And he did some big things. Let me tell you who Nehemiah was. Nehemiah's job as a slave to the Babylonian king was to be the wine taster. Sounds like a pretty good job, right? Yeah. Except that if you wanted to kill the king of Babylon, the easiest way to put poison out for him was to put it in his wine. So your job was literally to take a drink of what was going to be served to the king. And if you lived, the king could drink. But if someone wanted to kill the king, you would be the first to know, right? Not a glorious job, an important job if you're the king to have that guy around you, but not a job of immense power. Nehemiah was just an everyday working class man doing the job that he had at his hands, earning his living, so to speak. He was no different than most of us. Nehemiah was just a normal guy, but the Holy Spirit moved upon him and God did some big things through him. Nehemiah heard this report from some people who had gone back to see their homeland. They came back and they said, guess what? Our city is completely destroyed. The wall around our city is gone. The temple is destroyed. Everything that we know and love that marks who we are is gone. Nehemiah heard that report. The Spirit gave him a burden for that. The Spirit gave him a burden for that. And in his heart he said this, I am not okay with this. He was mad that the wall and the city were destroyed. And he said, something has to be done. I'm not okay with the way things are turning out. Something has to be done. And he got mad. Have you ever been mad about something you saw was just wrong, an injustice? Have you ever gotten mad and just said, that's not right. Something has to be done. Well, this is where he was. And the Spirit had given him that burden that the city needed to be rebuilt, that the people needed a place to return from captivity to. The first step was to build a wall. And so Nehemiah, the simple everyday guy who the Spirit moved on, received a burden from the Lord that something had to be done. And that's our first step to bringing our faith into action. To bring your faith, I believe in Jesus Christ. We stated our faith earlier. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He's my Savior. I believe in the Holy Spirit came from the Father and the Son and resides in us to give us our connection to the power of Christ. I believe that these things, this is my faith. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. But faith without works is dead. So to put our faith into action and help us use divine direction to actually accomplish things in our life, our first step is that we need a burden for the thing that's bothering. That's what's been missing in my life all these years. I know the doctor tells me I need to lose weight. The doctor tells me you need to exercise. But I didn't have a burden for that. None whatsoever. I didn't care. I like fluffy. I'm in shape. Oblong round is a shape, right? I'm good. I didn't have a burden for this. But another way to put this is not burden, because burden sounds like something that's heavy and something that's not fun to take on. Bill Hybels talks about this a little bit, and he calls it a holy discontent. A holy discontent that the way things are is not the way things are supposed to be. That this is just not right. And that's what Nehemiah got. He got a holy discontent that the city should not be in ruins, that the wall needed to be rebuilt. A holy discontent. Step one, if you want to see changes in your life, is you need to ask God to make those things that you see that need to be changed into a holy discontent, a burden. So where you get to the point where you will get mad at what it is that you want to change, and you'll get your dander up, so to speak, and you'll fight. Yesterday at Elsie's basketball, there was a girl on her team who is really tall. She has so much potential. It's her first year to play basketball, I think. And she's learning the game, and she is so sweet that in a game, other people are fouling her, and she doesn't get her way, and she just kind of, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry." Well, yesterday, some girls fouled her repeatedly, and she got on the edge of holy. She got a holy discontent, and she turned around, and you could see it in her eyes. Something turned on, and she played the best game she had ever played that I'd seen, because she got to the point where she was mad. This is not right. They're hitting my arms. They're taking the ball away from me, and I'm bigger than them, and I'm going to stand up and do something about it, and she did. This is what we're talking about. That thing that you want to get rid of in your life, that thing that you want to eradicate from your life, you need to get mad about it. You need a holy discontent. And so our first step is to pray, God, give me a burden. Make this thing heavy so that I don't want it anymore. And that's exactly what happened with Nehemiah. He didn't ask for that burden, but the Spirit gave him that burden. We need to ask for that thing to become heavy. So the story goes that Nehemiah, the great engineer and architect, set off to rebuild the city, right? Wrong. Nehemiah knew nothing about building. Nehemiah knew nothing about rallying people and leading people to build. He didn't know anything about architecture. He didn't know anything about what he was going to do. He was completely unqualified and he was completely unprepared. And so I want to ask you a question. Have you ever felt unqualified to do what you knew needed to be done? Have you ever felt unprepared to do what you knew God was calling you to do? I know some of you have, because I've come to you and said, I feel on my heart that God is leading me to ask you to lead this ministry area in our church. And you've looked at me like, right? Eyes, deer in the headlights. You said, I cannot do that. I can't do that. Well, just pray about it. And you come back to me 2 or 3 days later, looking at the ground, moving your feet around, going, I prayed about that thing you asked, and I really don't know how to do it, but God's laying it on my heart, so I guess if you'll help, I'll give it a try. You know, so reluctant, so like, how does it turn out? I'm looking around the room and I see the people who have reluctantly stepped into positions of leadership who are doing fantastic jobs because God called you into that. Unprepared and unqualified you might have been, but our God has all the preparation and all the qualifications that you need. We all have gone through those phases where we felt unqualified and unprepared. We start SoulCon tomorrow night, something that God had brought across my path, and he has stirred in me to make certain that we start that here. And I am unqualified and unprepared and really, in so many ways, unwilling to do SoulCon, to lead it. I haven't exercised in an intense manner in a long time. I am not in shape. I am no longer young. I may be 43 years old physically in some areas, but my knees and ankles are like 68, 75. They're old. They're wore out. And yet God's laid this on my heart. And I tried to get rid of it. I tried to push it away and say, maybe someone else will start it. And it didn't happen. God said, this is for you. And there's a reason for you to start it. And I want you to do it. And I'm unprepared. And quite frankly, I don't want to go. This is not on my list of things to accomplish in 2018. Did not start with, let Andy annihilate me every Monday in front of my peers to show them how bad out of shape and how weak I am. This is not where I wanted to start my 2018. I'm unqualified and I'm unprepared. But God's called. And tomorrow night we'll wade in and we'll do that. But let's see how it is that Nehemiah dealt with this. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5. Nehemiah said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant that I now pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants. Confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you, even I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, and the rules that you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there I will gather them and bring them to the place that I have chosen to make my name dwell there. They are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name. And give success to your servant today and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. The second thing we need to do to put our faith in action is we need to pray. And we don't just need to pray, God, help me get in shape. God, help me save more money. God, help me become a better disciple. We need to pray intently. Did you hear his prayer? Forgive me of my sins. And I love the way he said, forgive the people of their sins. And even I have sinned. I love that. He wrote this, by the way. Even I have sinned. Then he goes on to repent and own up. You know how many times we say, God, forgive me of my sins in the Lord's Prayer, but we really don't own up to what we've done wrong? We really don't take the time to actually pour our heart out and say, God, this is where I sin. He did. He said, as for me and my father's house, these are the things we've done wrong. We got to own our sin, folks. And not only own it, we got to confess it to God, and then we have to repent from it. We need to pray intently. In this prayer, telling God, hey, I'm a sinner, I've done these things wrong, and I want to change that. The next thing he did is he reminded God, remember your promise? Remember your promise that if we turn and come back to you, that you will gather us and put us in a place where your name can be known? Remember your promise, God? He reminded God of Scripture. He reminded God of Scripture. He prayed intently. And in his prayer, he found the qualification and the preparation he needed. Only when he surrendered his burden and cried out, God, help me. What he was doing here, he was about to go before the king. He was about to go before the king and ask for his release. Hey, I'm your slave, but let me go so I can do this thing God's laid on my heart. Oh, by the way, a God you don't believe in, right? He said, God, give me favor before this man. He cried out, God, help me. You know, we're using my weight loss as kind of an example here because, well, A, I'm up here and you can see that I'm out of shape, and B, that's kind of light and easy. But there are some people in here today that are dealing with addiction. There are some people in here today that are dealing with demons that are much more powerful than cupcakes that I deal with. And I don't really want to be up here on the stage telling you all the demons that I'm dealing with, so I'm using this one. But the same concept holds true. Until we take that burden for getting something out of our life in 2018 that we no longer want to deal with, until we take that burden and surrender it and say, God, help me, it is not going to magically disappear. And we can't say, God, help me, and then put that thing back in our pocket and carry it around. We have to lay it at the foot of the cross and say, God, help me. What happens when we cry out to the Father for help? Does he ignore us? Or does he meet us right there? Step two is that he prayed intently and he prayed, God, help me. When we're serious about seeking divine direction to change our lives, we will do the same. We'll cry out with all that we have for help. His issue is this. Something needs to be done, but it's 850 miles away. That's a pretty long walk, folks. Nehemiah knew nothing about building. And there's this little issue here that he's a slave to the most powerful king on the planet. These are the things that he was facing. This is how big his issue was. And he called out to God and said, God, help. How big is your issue? When I look at me and saying I need to lose a little weight, and I look what Nehemiah went through, I am ashamed. I am ashamed that I can't deal with that on my own. I wish I had that kind of faith. I wish I had that kind of faith. Nehemiah cries out, here's my issue. God, help me. And God looks at all the things that Nehemiah has to overcome, and he says, no worries. Right? No worries. Your God is big enough to see you through whatever it is that you're facing. Your God is big enough to deliver you through the valley that you're going through right now. Your God is big enough to destroy your enemies. God, help me. That's all it requires. Humble submission and surrender. To do big things in your life, you have to start small. To do big things in life, you have to start small. No one builds ginormous entities overnight. Big companies, big homes, big families, everything starts small. To do big things in life, you have to start small. You have to humble yourself and ask God for help. Zechariah 4:10 says this in the New Living Translation, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work." Don't despise the small things you feel like you're having to do. The Lord rejoices to see the work. The Lord rejoices to see the work. Think back, children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews. We celebrate this moment when a child takes their first steps more than anything. Why do we celebrate that? They'll never do that with great grace, do they? They never really walk more than like 6 inches before they fall again, right? Let's be real. What have they accomplished, you know? Except we celebrate that because we know that that's the first step on a huge journey. And it's a small step on a huge journey, that they're never going to leave our house if they don't learn to walk, right? We celebrate that because we know that that's a part of something bigger. When God sees us take our first steps into a new life are usually the same. They're usually wobbly and not graceful, and we usually end up falling a time or two. But God rejoices that we're taking small steps. Don't despise the small things, because God rejoices in seeing the work. He loves to watch us begin. Nehemiah had a burden, and then Nehemiah prayed and said, "God, help me." Those two small steps, but those two small steps led to major, huge results that we're going to read about in just a second. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. "Then I said to them, 'You see the trouble we are in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer suffer derision.' And I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good, and also of the words that the king had spoken to me. And the people said, 'Let us rise up and build.' So they strengthened their hands for the good work." He took a small step. He gathered the leadership that he could gather of the people who were in dispersion, in captivity in Babylon, and he told them what God had done. And he shared his vision, his burden with them, and he inspired them. This man who had no experience in leading other people inspired the leaders, and they said, "Yes, let's go build that wall. Let's go build that wall." He took a small step of faith. God rejoiced that Nehemiah was stepping out. First of all, he went and he asked the king for his release. Small step, God rejoiced. Then he gathered the leaders and said, "This is what God has done, and we have the blessing of the king." Small step, gathering people around him. Probably wobbly along the way. I'm sure that when he approached the king that day, he wasn't speaking boldly in faith, right? He was probably cowering just a little bit. God rejoiced in his small steps, and then God blessed his steps. And God began to work through Nehemiah to accomplish big things. For me, tomorrow's small step is to show up at SoulCon at 6 p.m. And I'm going to do my best to get out of that. I'm going to try to get into traffic. I'm going to try to have someone need me for something, right? I'm probably going to let some air out of my tires. Oh, I've had a flat. I can't make it. My small step would be to show up. My next small step is to try. When Andy says, "You need to do 6,000 push-ups," and I can give him 4, right? I'm taking a small step, and God will rejoice. And Andy will make fun, but God will rejoice. And then I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for survival. God, get me through this workout and get me home. My small steps for tomorrow, I do that. But my goal, I want to drop 15 pounds. I want to be able to run a 5K. And I know it looks like up there it says ability to run a 5K in 6 weeks. No, I don't want to take 6 weeks to run a 5K. I can do that now, right? That's called crawling, right? But in 6 weeks, I want to be able to have the ability to run a 5K from start to finish. These are the big goals. that I'm taking. These are the big goals that I've set for this next six-week SoulCon challenge. But I'm going to tell you something. My faith isn't that big. My faith, I wrote those goals. I can't sit here and tell you I believe in those goals, that I can achieve those goals. My faith isn't that big, but God is. And your goal may be deliverance from something that's been attacking you. Your goal may be to bring your family back together. Your goal may be so much more important than chubby boy losing a little bit of weight. And your faith may not be big enough to achieve your goal, but your God is more than able to help you achieve your goal. And our faith is not in our abilities, but our faith is in Him and Him alone. Your God is big enough. Set your goals. Pray. Ask for God to give you a burden. Ask for help. And take that first small step of faith. The thing is, I don't have to have the faith to finish the journey. I don't have to have enough faith to be able to run a 5K in 6 weeks. All I have to do is have enough faith to start the first workout. All I have to do is have enough faith to get up at 5 a.m. tomorrow and go for a 3-mile walk. To stretch my old leg tendons out, right? I have to begin there. I have to have the faith to start. And then I trust God to help me along the way. Sometimes we get stymied by the fact that our faith isn't big enough to see the end result. My faith isn't big enough to do that. All you need is the faith for the first step. God will supply the rest. So if you take that first step in faith and you step out, then what? What happens next? What is the next thing that I need to do? It's ground shaking. It's mind shattering. It is going to crazily wreck your world right now. The next thing we do is take another step. That's it. If you have the faith to take the first step and then you pray and you balance yourself a little bit, and you say, God, what's my next step? God will give you the next step. And all you have to do is take it. And then you pray, God, what's my next step? So many times we pray, God, where is the finish line? Where is this thing going to end? Show me the shortcut, right? We need to pray for the next step. I don't have to have understanding. I don't have to know how it's going to turn out. I have to have faith in you that you're big enough. Show me the next step. And then we take it. And then we take the next one. And then we take the next one. Back to Nehemiah chapter 2 in verse 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite servant and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they jeered at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you're doing? Are you rebelling against the king? And then I replied to them, the God of heaven will make us prosper, and we his servants will arise and build, but you have no portion or right or claim in Jerusalem. Opposition came to Nehemiah. When he started taking a step in faith and doing something God called him to do, opposition came up. Where have you ever heard that opposition will come against you when you do the things God's called you to? Right? I believe it was about this time, maybe a little earlier, last week. I told you that. We saw it in Scripture. Opposition's going to come, but Nehemiah didn't cower, retreat, or quit. Nehemiah didn't give up on his New Year's resolution. Nehemiah sought divine direction. He stayed the course. And not only did he not retreat or quit, he actually stood up to people who were there to destroy him. He stood up and he said, you have no power over what God's doing in my life. Sometimes we need to look at the enemy and we need to say, you have no power over my life because I am a child of God. I have been freed. I have been set free. And the one that I serve is more powerful and bigger than you. Leave me alone. For some of us, that's the place where we fall off. We're still in fear of the power of the enemy. We have forgotten the power of the Lord. Nehemiah stood up. We need to stand up. So let's put this into real life. If one of your goals was to be a better disciple of Jesus Christ, what would you do? You'd pray for that burden. God, make my heart hungry for you. And then you would pray, God, help me. And then God has already provided some of that. And then you get on a YouVersion app and you find a Bible study. And I'm going to do this Bible study. And I'm going to friend request Pastor Scott so that he can see the Bible study I'm doing and maybe even invite him to do it with me in case I have questions. Totally cool. But I'm going to start right there because that's new for me and I've never done that before. And that Bible study, that YouVersion app, I found a Bible study that's 7 days long. I'm going to stretch that into 7 weeks. I'm going to do one of those studies a week. That's fine. That's a small step. You're going to do that and complete that. Then, you know what, I'm going to sign up for one of those small group things. This is going pretty good. I don't feel so out of place. Let me sign up for one of those and see what it's like on Sunday morning for Sunday school or Wednesday night for a small group. And then maybe after a little while from there, you get baptized and you join the church. And then you begin to step up into leadership. And then you want to teach a small group. And your next step is to become a missionary to a third world country. And, right? This is how this goes, right? Nah, not that last one. There are people to do that. That's my biggest fear in life, that God would ever call me or Sarah. And really, Sarah, because I know I'm strong enough to withstand that call, you know? But that's not my heart. I'm not called to be a missionary. God's not calling you to be a missionary. He may not be calling you to teach a small group. But if your goal is to be a better disciple, He is going to give you step-by-step ways in which you can do that. And each step is going to have its own challenges. You don't come forward today and say, I'm ready to teach a small group. I've never been in one, and I don't even own a Bible, but I'm challenged, and I want to start a small group. Step by step, God will show you the next step, not the end result. St. Francis of Assisi said, start doing what's necessary, then start doing what's possible, and suddenly you're doing the impossible. I want to do the impossible for Christ. I want to do the impossible for Christ. Nehemiah did the impossible for God, but he started by doing what was necessary. He prayed for that burden. He asked for God's help before the king. He took those small steps to rally the people, to take the journey, to begin to lay the first stone. And God did some amazing things. The people that he carried with him rebuilt the wall around the city in 52 days. Modern construction experts doubt they could do it with the technology we have at our hand in the same amount of time. When we take small steps to start and follow the steps ordered by God, we will see big results. We will see big results if we allow God to guide us. Galatians 6:9 says, do not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. It's not overnight, folks. It's not overnight. If you're praying for God to release something from your life, break some chains, it's not going to happen overnight. It will happen step by step as you are capable and as you are ready, but don't give up. If you've tried something new for 2018 and you've already fallen off, don't give up. Get back up on that horse. Start over. Just start. And believe that it will be accomplished. But when we do these, we set these goals, we need to dream God-sized dreams. You know what my dream for this church is? From the first day I was here, I dreamed that this would be a church that had multiple campuses. And you're thinking, well, that's crazy. When your first day here, we weren't even sure if we were going to be able to keep this campus, right? John's like, I don't even know if we're going to be able to keep this campus anyways, right? I'm still dreaming that we're going to have multiple campuses of Grace Point at some point, ministering all through our community, all through our area. Not so that we can be big and boast and have shirts with our name on them and things like that, but because God has called us to carry the gospel into our community. And we need to reach further than just Mount Olive and Warrior. We need to reach to the ends of the earth. And because we have so many people here who are capable and so many people here who are qualified and so many people here who love the Lord, we have the tools to do it. And so I hold on to that dream of moving from survival, where we were 4 years ago, to multiplication. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I know it's not going to happen overnight. I know that I can't, at the admin council meeting today, announce that we're going to buy a storefront and start our second campus next week, right? The small steps. God says, get the church solidly founded right where you're at. Train your leaders. Disciple your people. And one day, a door will open. And one day, there'll be a second campus. And then you'll train leaders and you'll disciple people. And one day, there'll be a third campus. And one day, there'll be a fourth. And one day, there'll be a fifth. And if this is God's will and His dream, He will meet us there if we take it step by step and we're faithful. Dream big dreams for your life. When you're looking at 2018 and what story you're going to write, think big, because your God is big and your God wants to accomplish big things in you. Dream big. And then pray. God, develop that burden within me. Put it on my heart that I cannot get rid of this, that I have to chase after you. And then pray, God, help me. Give me favor in the world. Give me favor among the people. God, help me do what I need to do. to take that first step. And then God, show me the next step. Show me the next open door. If we make this our prayer life, if we make this how we seek divine direction and put our faith into action, God will meet us. God will answer our prayers, but only if we take that first step. Only if we have the faith to start. So how do you want your story to go? It doesn't matter what you want. You're only going to accomplish what you take the first step to do. Today's the day to take that step. Whether that step is giving your life over to Jesus Christ for the first time, or whether that is getting right with Him again, whether that's declaring that I'm done with this sin in my life and I'm tired of this, or whether it's something simpler. You have to have the faith to take the first step. You have to have the faith to start. And God will meet you there. He will grant you divine direction. He will bless your efforts. And He will accomplish His will in your life for your joy. There is no altar call that we can give today that's going to make this happen. What has to happen here is that you have to put your faith in action in your heart. And you have to determine between you and your Savior that you're done with the stuff you're struggling with. That you're not putting up with this anymore. You have to get mad at that thing that's holding you back. And then pray for help. And I wish I could tell you that there's a book you can read that'll help you with that. I wish I could tell you that there's a small group to join. I wish I could tell you that your neighbor can help you with that. But you can't have help taking the first step of faith. That is only you. You have that ability. But here's where we all are on equal ground. We cannot look back December 31st, 2018 at what we've accomplished this year in our lives, about where we've transformed our lives. We can't look back and accept any excuse for still being in the same place we were last year. Because God has told you that if you trust Him, if you pray for help, and pray for each step, that He will deliver us. What is written about your life in 2018 truly begins with what you're deciding in your heart right now.